Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord, upon each one of our hearts and our lives. Lord, we thank you that it's all because of Jesus. We thank you, O God, that all the glory and all the worship and all the honor goes to Jesus for what he has done, O Lord, in each one of our lives. And even all those things, Lord, that our lives have been blessed to one another, we know, Lord, that it's because of you working in our lives. And all the glory and all the worship and all the honor must go back to you. And we do render all to you, Lord, for all that you have done. Father, as we look forward to a new year, we want to humble ourselves before you in fasting and in prayer. We want to humble ourselves before you, O God, seeking, supplicating for your aid and your help for another year. We ask, O God, that you continue as you have done throughout the year. And Lord, there are so many innumerable blessings, lessons, and things that we have learned, that we have grown in throughout 1994. We are grateful for them, O God. And as we look forward to the next year, we know, Lord, there are a great many more things to experience from you. And we want to humble ourselves before you to seek your help, to seek, O God, to do your will. Our only desire, O Lord, is to do your will. So help each one of us, Lord, to perform and do your will. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus that covers us, that cleanses us, that purges all our imperfections and weaknesses. However, words or deeds and actions that we have done, taught, changed, or in any way, Lord, that is displeasing to you, we plead your precious blood. We ask, Lord, that your word will come into our hearts and our lives afresh as we prepare ourselves, Lord, to welcome the new year. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who is here to aid and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your Bibles, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. In the Old Testament times, they celebrated what we call the seven keys of Israel. And of all the seven keys, I believe that there is none greater, higher, and more significant than the feast. In actual fact, it was like a fast called the Day of Atonement, which occurs on the 10th day of the 7th month. And in fact, in that very month, they have also the Feast of Trumpets, and then they have the Day of Atonement, followed by the Feast of Tabernacles. All the feasts were important in their types and pictures of the New Testament dispensation. But I believe that of all the feasts, the Day of Atonement was the most important. You see, on the Day of Atonement, it was the only time in that one year that the high priest would enter the most holy place in the tabernacle that they had at that time, and he would offer a sacrifice for himself and the whole nation of Israel. It was the only one day in their year that the priest could enter and be in the Holy of Holies. To the Israelites, it was their holiest day. Today, the modern Israelite nation celebrates it as Yom Kippur. Although they don't have the temple ceremonies because they lack a temple today until the third temple will be built just before the Antichrist manifests. But it's still the holiest day in the Israelite calendar. Of course, in the New Testament, We don't exactly observe the Jewish feast, although there are pictures of it that we keep, like the Passover, which is usually tied about the time of Easter. We have pictures of it in our Christian celebrations. But in our modern times, we tend to look forward to January the 1st as our New Year, since to us every day is the same and every year is the same, because we know the Lord and we have a personal relationship with Him every day, every hour, every minute, every second. So every day to us is holy. But it's good to corporately and as a whole church keep aside a day when we can humble ourselves as a church. We have our individual times of fasting. We have our individual times of seeking the Lord. And there are times when as a church we proclaim a fast as the Spirit of God leads us. But we always have, as a church, corporately together, a year-end day of observance of a fast on the 31st of December. There are times of fasting, there are times of feasting and celebration, and both of them are important in the development of the human soul and the human spirit. We need both to be balanced in our lives. But today is especially a time when we observe a time of humbling ourselves before God. At the end of a year, and as we look forward to the new year, seeking God's blessing. To the Jews, the Day of Atonement was important because if they didn't make a breakthrough that day with God, they will have no blessing for a whole year. If the high priest didn't succeed in presenting the atonement for the whole nation, it would be a very bleak and painful year. And that is why the whole nation had to fast. And if you have never fasted before, most of us, the time that you attend each church and you taught fasting and prayer, you will possibly be practicing a regular fast in your life, if not even living a fasted life. But at least I believe, young and old, we should learn to fast at least once a year, because on the Day of Atonement, all the Jews to instruct even their children to keep aside that day special, to seek God. It's a time that we need to teach our children and teach ourselves humility and humbling ourselves before God. As we hear from all the various testimonies, all of us are different developments in our spiritual life. Some of us are experiencing great abundance. Some of us are experiencing great lessons that we learn from abasement. But the most important thing in our life is not what we possess and what we have, but how we grow spiritually and what we can bring back to heaven with us, which is not the possessions we have early, but it's more the lessons that we learn as we go through this life. And I like to read certain things that happen on the Day of Atonement, which we bring forward to the 31st of December 1994, and every year as we humble ourselves before God in fasting and prayer. Let's look at the book of Leviticus chapter 16, and I'll read from verse 30. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Number one, humbling ourselves in a type of Day of Atonement, it's like bringing before God all of our lives, our successes, our failures before God, and we certainly don't want to bring it across in the 1995. Thank God for all the testimonies and the successful prayers and successful breakthroughs that we have heard so far. And some of us are in the process of receiving a miracle. In fact, I know of one particular sister, and I know she's not here, I could send the message, she's not here present, but she's helping through a miracle, and I know a miracle has happened. It has something to do with growth, and recently she just had a breakthrough, and it has broken, and the blood has just passed out, and I was just on the phone today, with the parents, and I do know that the breakthrough has come. She fasted 7 days for that. And I know that she's on her way to the miracle that God has for her. So some of us are halfway to a miracle. Some of us are going to receive a miracle in the coming year. But what about your failure? What about your imperfection and your sin? There are things that we don't share. There are things that we don't testify about. The dark moments in our life when we fail. The weak moments in our life when we fail. That we dare not testify, that we do not share about. That only God knows in the secret places of our heart. And such a time like this is where we come, and we want to make sure that we are cleansed from all those things. And if you have anything in your heart and in your life, any mistake that you have done in your life throughout 1994, what we want to encourage you is, don't bring it into 1995. Sometimes the failures that we make, the mistakes that we make, the sins that we have committed, imperfections that cause us misery and pain and heartache, are so hard to forget. That for some of us, sometimes we still remember them after 10 years. And certainly we have to learn. We have to learn how to get over it. And perhaps the most important thing is, besides receiving forgiveness from God, besides receiving forgiveness from those we hurt and those we caused pain, is perhaps to get over that failure yourself, which boils down to you forgiving yourself as God forgives you. The Bible is so simple about sins and mistakes. You know, it doesn't have to take 10 days, it doesn't have to take 10 months. Although our soul memory takes time to forget some of our mistakes. But there's a miracle that we have with God. It's wonderful in a time like that that we can come to God with the blood of Jesus. Unlike the Old Testament, who had no guarantee of what it will turn out like on the Day of Atonement. They had no idea whether it's going to be a good year or bad year, depending on how God accepts the sacrifice. Thank God that for us, our answer has been given before we call. There's only one blood sacrifice, there's only one lamb sacrifice for all of us, the Lamb of God. Before we call, He answers. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if you confess all our sins, He's faithful to forgive all your sins and cleanse all your sins with His precious blood, and you are washed as white as snow. All you have to do is ask Him, confess to Him, and it's done. It doesn't take longer than a few seconds it takes for you to pray. But why is it that sometimes after you do it, that you don't feel forgiven? You know why you don't feel forgiven? You haven't forgiven yourself. You put your own guilt on yourself. Although Jesus forgives us, the guilt is still there. You haven't let yourself go. Because there's something built on our inside that we must punish ourselves. You don't have to, because Jesus said the punishment for you. Forgive yourself and let yourself go in God. And you let yourself go under the precious blood of the Lamb. Tonight, you don't have to bring that guilt into 1995. You will be all under the blood. And you're white as snow, as if you've never done it before. All by the grace of God. So number one is to stand before God clean. To stand before God in January 1st, 1995, without all the past mistakes coming to affect our present life, our future life. Isn't it wonderful that we can have it in Jesus? Can you pray this after me? Say, Lord Jesus, We thank you for your precious blood. And all our sins, all our thoughts, all our weaknesses, all our trespasses, all our iniquities are under your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. It cleanses me from all my sins. In Jesus' name, I receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, besides understanding how to forgive ourselves and let ourselves go the way God led us, see, God doesn't view sin the way we view sin. We humans classify some things as more terrible than others, but not with God. There are some things that are perhaps more terrible to God than what we think humanly we think is not so terrible. Some things that we think are more terrible that God don't think is that terrible. God knows our heart. But the second statement I'd like to make is very important. Just as all your testimonies and all your successes and all your breakthroughs result because of what you did in your faith in God, with the encouragement and help of others, and of course to God's intercession and in God's intervention in your life to bring you the breakthrough, that you have some part to do with it, and you have some responsibility involved in bringing about a miracle through the help of other people. We need to realize this may be hard for us to swallow, but let's take it that everything that has gone wrong in 1994, everything and every failure that has gone wrong, we have a part. We ourselves, not somebody else. In order to live it in 1994 under the blood, not bring 1995, we must recognize it. That somehow in a mysterious way, that whatever happened, good or bad, is a result of what we saw, what we think, besides what we did, what we do. Sometimes it's not even what we do. Sometimes it's what we feel and what we think. Like Job said, the thing that I greatly fear has fallen upon me. It's a very strange thing in the spirit world, that what you meditate upon, what you think, can attract themselves to you, good or bad. And we need to, number two, very clearly, very boldly, in the face of God, and before Jesus Christ, say, God, it is my fault. Don't blame me on your husband or your wife. Don't blame me on your other people. It's called the blaming syndrome that came in the Garden of Eden. No doubt others may have their little part, but remember, every sin and every temptation and every failure, we attract it to ourselves. By our thought life, by our desires, by our actions. And we, and only we, must take the blame for all our failures, for all our sins, for all our trespasses, for all our heartaches, for all our sins. Let's be men enough and woman enough to accept our own blame. And only then can we get over. Because as long as we keep blaming somebody else, we will never get over our past failure, and we'll drag it in the 1995. The Bible says that no man is tempted in the book of James except by his own lust. I want you to know that the word temptation is the same Greek word for the word testing and trial. No trial and no test and no temptation has ever happened to your life that you have not accepted it into your own life in some mysterious way. To the thought you sow, to the deed you did, to the wrong words you spoke. But let's be able to come to God tonight and say, God, I'm sorry. I don't know how and in what way I might have accepted some of those happenings. Thank God for all the victories. And you could look at the victories and you could say, God, thank you for those victories that we have done our little story and we reap those victories. Because every miracle is a harvest you reap from some seed you sow. And remember, every failure is also a harvest of some seed you sow. Nobody else sowed but us. Sometimes we sow the seeds in others and they are sowed back into our lives and they multiply, the emotions to sow back and it multiplies. But we must be men enough and woman enough to come and say, God, I'm willing not to blame anyone but me, myself. And to be willing to come to God and fast and pray and tonight say, Lord, help me to get away and help me to get rid of those things that are attracting the wrong things into my life. Maybe the wrong thoughts, maybe the wrong desires, maybe the wrong actions, maybe the wrong things that we hold to our lives. That the moment we recognize that we're willing to say, Lord, it is I. What happened if Adam would say, Lord, I'm sorry, I failed him. I don't bring him. Oh Lord, I failed, I'm sorry, I should have done a better job. Maybe God will reveal to him where his fault really was and he could have come out a better person. But Adam blamed the serpent and they refused to see their own fault. No doubt Eve had a part to help Adam fall. No doubt the serpent had a part to help Eve fall. There will always be a part. But in the end, there's no one to blame for our failure but ourselves. Remember this word. Every time you succeed, thank God. Give God the glory. Thank God for those who help. But although much as we like to give God all the glory, but remember, you're rewarded because you too have your part to bring about the miracle and the success in your life. The same law operates. Whenever we fail, we ourselves have a part to bring that failure on ourselves. Nobody else but us. And when we come to God and we're ready to face it, it's then and only then that we're ready for the healing that God can bring into our life, even tonight, so that it will never cross into 1995 with that great burden, heartache, failure, and things that haunt your life. It should not be. It should come in the 1995 clean. Next verse I'd like to read is verse 31. It is a Sabbath or solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your soul. It is a statue forever. We call for a fast because fasting is one of the ways that we humble our soul. We afflict our soul. In the book of Psalm 35, verse 13, it says that my soul is humble. I humble my soul with fasting. So our soul is humble or afflicted through fasting. And we need to approach 1995, I believe, although we can celebrate and feast and celebrate in 1995, but as we approach it, we need to approach it with fasting. And if we did not do it today, well, seek time to do it for 1995. I always, before every new year, I always try to find time to wait on God, to seek God for the next year, to humble myself for all that God has done throughout the year and to seek God for God's fresh blessing in the next year. I believe we should make that a pattern in our life. And God always reveals some things to do and some things to accomplish in the following year, which He has done so far and revealing what is to come. We need time to seek God. We need time to rest in God. We need to take time to fast, to pray, to spend time in His presence. That's what we are doing tonight, which is why we're going to praise God for each one of you taking the time, not only to testify, to pray, but to humble yourself and corporately fast before God, to seek God, to afflict our soul. Because in this life, there's only one. It's not the devil, because we have authority over the devil. It's not your fellow man, because we are all given free choice. But the only instrument that can cause you to fail in this life is your physical body. The passion, the desire, the only tool of this physical body is the only instrument that, if left to itself, will pull you into earthliness, worldliness, and pull you out of God's will. Which is why once a year we need to afflict this physical body, formal this physical body, put it in its right place, and let our spirit take ascendancy as we approach the new year. Whenever we fast, we are putting down the flesh and lifting out the spirit. We are saying no to the things of the flesh and saying yes to the things of the spirit. Which is why we need to fast and humble ourselves before God at least corporately once a year. Another reason why we have to do it is a form of humbling ourselves before God. It's a form of gratitude that we come to God. It's a form of we saying, Lord, no matter what, you bless us with. I mean, some of you may be blessed tremendously. Who knows, in time to come, and even throughout this year and the coming year, you may be blessed with titles, you may be blessed with awards, even by name, you may be blessed with all kinds of things. But there must be a time that we come to God and bring all our trophies, and bring all our rewards, and bring all our positions, and bring all that God has enabled us to receive with great favor, and place it on the cross of Calvary, and say, Lord, it all belongs to you. Remember that even in heaven, the 24 elders before God, the mysterious 24 elders who are part of God's government system in the spirit world, when the worship of God goes forth, even the 24 elders took their crowns and cast their crowns before God. Their crowns were given by God, and they were willing to give their crowns back to God. Isn't that marvelous? Your Isaac came from God, and don't ever forget that. Your positions came from God, don't ever forget that. Your prosperity comes from God, and don't ever forget that. Your recognition and fame came from God, don't ever forget that. In my shelf, there's a book that analyzed the richest men in the world throughout the 19th and the 20th century. And you know, many of them don't last more than one generation. Except for those who were faithful. In fact, in one survey of the top richest men over the last 40 years, within 30 years, just a rough, from what I roughly remember, three of them commit suicide. Four of them completely went bankrupt. There is no point in getting proud when the world recognizes you, when we get fame, riches, and fortune. Remember, we could as easily have it removed from us when we forget God. the story of Nebuchadnezzar should always be a reminder to us that the richest man on the earth in his time was no man against Almighty God. The story of Nebuchadnezzar should always be a reminder to us that the richest man on the earth in his time was no man against Almighty God. And that is why I believe we need to find one day a year when we come publicly and say, God, I give it all back to you. Our Isaacs will return to you. May God help us to always be willing to give back our Isaacs. May God help us. Because if you do, there will be a spiritual growth in your life that will bless you for eternity. Plus great reward in the world and the age that is to come. That is why we have to humble ourselves in fasting and prayer. Last passage that I read is verse 32. And a priest was anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place, shall make atonement and put on a linen cloth, the holy garment. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now in the Old Testament time, the atonement was made through a special sacrifice, a special sacrificial lamb that they were offered to God on the Day of Atonement. Today we recognize there's only one lamb, the Lamb of God. And that is why the third thing that we're going to do is to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I want you to know that the Lord's Supper that we're going to partake in this New Year's Eve when we cross over into the New Year, January 1st, is a special one. I know we do it every Sunday in our church service. I know some of us do it every day in our home. But I want you to know that this communion is different. It is a communion that is likened to the Day of Atonement communion. The Israelites partake of the sacrificial lamb every Passover. Every Passover, every family had their own special lamb. And almost in every feast, they will offer different lambs. What was so special about the Day of Atonement? It was a special day that God set aside and that they set aside for God. And what they are doing it in partaking this communion now at this time is doing it for the entire year. Doing it for the entire 1994 figuratively and doing it for the entire 1995 looking forward to what God can do in our lives. So at this time we're going to invite the ushers to bring the communion and the communion vessels forward. And as they bring it forward, we're going to sing a worship song in remembrance of all that God has done and all that Jesus has done in our lives. And we sing that song, the steadfast love of our Lord, steadfast love of our Lord never ceases. Just to bring it forward. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new
speak softly while I read a passage from the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says here by the Apostle Paul, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let us prepare ourselves and just spend some time in meditation as the music plays. And then which God has for us in his sacrificial name. Let's rededicate our lives to God. We don't ask you to make resolution. You can if you want to set goals. But I think it's more important to rededicate our lives than to resolve our lives. It's more important to seek his grace and his help than it is with our own free power and real power to set goals. It's more important to acknowledge him than to acknowledge our goals. Pray very softly in the spirit if you need to. Oh Lord, cleanse, Lord, forgive. Do let any of our works, our thoughts, our deeds enter the 1995 that were. They are not good, Lord. Lord, we do not want any of our actions, failures, or seeds sown in 1994 that were bad seeds to move into 1995. We ask for your cleansing of your precious blood. Oh, Shiki Mahasatala 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 Mahasatala. I could sense the prayer burden coming forth. Let it go and pray through in your life right now. Your words spoken against people that were not right. Sins of the lips, sins of the mind, sins of the action, sins of the body. I want Jamie and Philip and other intercessors. Can you just come and form a second line behind this floor supper and stretch off your hands and begin an intercession, because this communion, Lord's Supper, represents the body of Jesus here, represented here, and the fellowship that's here. I'm going to bring an intercession for the body of Christ. Kenny and Philip, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Philip, and other intercessors will come and here, and all the associate pastors and associate ministers and elders and deacons who are here, and your spouse, can you come and also be among the second row here. Let's bring this with prayer and intercession to God. And seek God's blessing for fresh in here. It's coming. Thank you, Jesus. The congregation, stretch up your hands to this communion. And let's bring it before God as a body here. Representing. And let's bring it on the behalf of even those who are not here. Let's pray together for the body of Christ. Iberian Telabache Calabache 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 Different, and we do different things in the Spirit of God. This year is what the Spirit of God needs to do, and we'll do it as the Spirit of God needs. We want, on behalf of the church and also as a senior pastor, to say to each one of you elders, deacons, and pastors, and also to the congregation, that if I, as a senior pastor, in any way I have stumbled you, hurt you, or caused you heartache, or any way that unintentionally that I may have hurt you or sinned against you, I want to ask for your forgiveness. And I always done my best to serve each one of you. Have you never known sometimes, not only what we do, but what we fail to do? And we want to ask for your forgiveness. And I want you to pray for me that I'll continue to do a better job for you in the coming years. And to love you and to covenant to serve you and do a good job as much as God enables me. If there's any hurt that is in each one of your lives that you somehow related to me, I want you to forgive me and ask for your forgiveness. Definitely it's not intentional. God knows my heart. God knows what our intentions are always. I want to make sure that I do ask for your forgiveness. And I want to covenant with you that I'll do a better job to serve you and to help each one of you in the coming year. And for those of you who are here and leaders of this church and pastor, elders and deacons, I want you to say this after me to the congregation, say that we need it. Ask for the congregation's forgiveness in any way that we have sinned against you, in any way that we have failed you, in any way that we have stumbled you. We ask for your forgiveness, because it's not the intention of our heart. Forgive us for what we may have done wrong. Forgive us for what we may have failed to do. And then congregation, we want you to confess this, say right now, say, forgive us for any wrong words that we have spoken against any leader, because you don't understand the pressures they're going through. You don't understand the responsibilities they hold. And sometimes you don't understand the actions that they have to take. And we may criticize them behind their back. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your cleansing, Jesus, for sinning with our lips. And in any way, if we may have sinned against the leaders of this church, we ask you, Father God, for cleansing and forgiveness. And we ask for the leaders' forgiveness, that we may start afresh in a brand new way to do the right thing, to be the congregation that God wants us to be, to have the light of Jesus to shine on our lives, that as a congregation, together with the leaders, that we will grow and glorify the Lord and fulfill God's plan for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as a church, let's make this prayer and confession to God. Let's just pray to God right now for a moment. Ara manche gala 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 man ke Maria nala manche gala manche gala manche ke Maria nala manche. Now we can do another thing that the Spirit of God leads before we partake, and it's important that the Holy Communion remains here, right? So understand what the Spirit of God is doing because there's special anointing here. And first of all, we're going to pray for one thing at a time. First of all, we ask each one of you here to stretch your hand and pray for me. I will do a better job to lead and to guide each one of you. Then afterward, we're going to pray for each one of you leaders in this church and those who are not here and those who are here. But we're going to pray with them also because the spirits are joined with our spirit. And then after, we're going to pray for the congregation and one at a time, all right? So I do ask for and cover your prayers and leading and fasting is not easy. I want you to know it's not an easy job, man. And you can ask, you can talk to Paul, and he always will say he never wants to, and that's why he wants to travel. And it's not been easy sometimes shouldering the responsibilities, the burden. And sometimes you take pressures that nobody else can take. Sometimes there's nobody else holding the boat. You know, sometimes everybody gives up. And I know if I ever give up, it'll be finished. But sometimes there's just nobody there. There's just nobody there. Everybody just wants to give up. But thank God. Thank God for His grace. That there are always those who continue to pray because of your prayers. God has strengthened, and to push on, and because we know our call, we know our responsibility. Only God knows the heartaches we bear. Only God knows the pain. I know the rewards are great in heaven. I know the rewards are great on this earth, but nobody knows. And nobody can understand the kind of pain, the kind of heartache it is. The millions of things happening. The simultaneous projects taking place. And sometimes things are abandoned and nobody can take it but us. And I know it's not us but the Lord. But then the Lord needs an instrument. And you just avail ourselves to be the instrument. In 1994, so many things have taken place. Sometimes whole departments are given up. And if nobody steps in, you know the whole thing will crash. In 1994, every department has been shaking and changed. That's why we're not just a traveling ministry. Sometimes the music ministry calls it. And I want you to know, we do a lot of things behind the scenes. When the music ministry needs us, every week we are there, no matter how busy we are. When the Bible school needs us, every week we are there. When any department calls, we avail ourselves. We're not just preaching and teaching on Sunday. There's so many things and so many responsibilities. And it's so easy to get criticized and so easy to get misunderstood. I know there have been words spoken against, but we just love each one. We know that it's because people don't understand. And we can only give our love. And all we can give back is love. There's nothing to give back but love. And that's why we ask for more prayer. You know, and in the next year we ask for prayer support, and that's all we ask for in our family. So we just cover your prayers, and we may not have done as good a job as we could have done, but we want to strive to do better, and we just want to ask for your prayer. Right? So just to pray for us. Let's pray. Thank you. at least in a time of humiliation and coming before the Lord, we share. I want you to know it's not defeatist attitude, but I want you to know that every department is doing very well now. And in fact, tomorrow we'll be doing a lot of auditing on different areas. Regent High is going very fine. At one point, I mean, the struggle was so great, it looks like no one wants to stand, but thank God for those who stand. And same in many areas, I mean, we have seen many hard battles and many hard roads. I thank God that it's good to hold the ship steady even through a storm. Because now that we are over the storm, we can see the future and we can plan the course better. The Vision Max is doing very well now. Things are right on steady on the way. And even in the new premises, negotiations are right on the dot and everything is going very fine now. And Lord has done tremendous things that we'll be sharing with you in our next move that we're making. And many other areas that God is doing. In every department, God is doing exciting things. And we want you to know that the storms may come, but keep strong because they never last. When tough time comes, the tough people get going and they keep going. And I want to thank each one of you for standing strong, those of you pastors, elders, and deacons. Some of you had your weak moments. But what's most important is not those times when our strength, our weaknesses are put to its greatest test. What's most important is that you're still around and you're still here.
Keep going. And I want to thank each one of you for standing strong, those of you pastors, elders, and deacons. Some of you had your weak moments. But what's most important is not those times when our strength, our weaknesses are put to its greatest test. What's most important is that you're still around and you're still here. Amen. You're still around and you're still here. I will reckon you're past the test. Amen. You're past the test. And I thank each one of you who stood strong, in your past attempt to receive the reward of God in the coming year. Praise God. Praise God. And so we ask the congregation to stretch your hand and pray for these pastors, elders, and deacons representing here their family. I want you to know that God doesn't use perfect people. God uses imperfect people. It's so easy to pick fault and find fault in imperfect people. But if you were in some of their positions, somebody could quite easily find fault with you. So be gracious. Learn to pray for each one of them. They have their responsibility. Sometimes they are doing things they don't realize that they are doing behind the scenes. And we need to pray for all the leaders, all the pastors, all the elders, all the deacons. Don't look at their faults alone. Look at the good things that they can do. I mean, each one of you are blessing in God. Each one of you present here, and I mean it. We have our weak moments. We have our strong moments. But the most important thing is you're still around. In fact, only recently, I asked for my staff to send me a list of the original members of our church, the first 30-something. And I looked through, I gave thanks to God, because every single one of them is still going strong with God. Everyone is still around. There are one or two who have got married to people or other churches and are serving there, but everyone is still strong in God. And we have not lost a single one. We're not going to lose anyone because they're in our prayer. Everyone has their weak moments, everyone has the attention of the crowd. But the most important thing is that you fought the good fight of faith in your love, in your sister-in God, in your sound manage to keep your faith. And we want to commend you for that. For the elders, pastors, deacons, you have your battles, you have your tough times. We have our rough spots. We have our rough times, and sometimes we don't seem to understand one another. But thank God, we are still here. We are still running the ship. We are still doing things together. We are still a team. And I want you to know, you are still welcome in the team in 1995. New opportunities that come. And we don't want to look at any failures. I want to remind each one of you here and to the congregation. And I don't want any one of you to remind me of any of your failures. Because I don't want to remember them. Maybe we can remember the lessons we learned. But remember this. We can become stronger people when we've gone to the last spot. Amen. And then to welcome you to the team of 1995. There's some prophecies that God has given me that I'll preach in tomorrow's service, 1995. But I want you to know, welcome to the team. And some of you were sitting, and you just need a big break and a rest. I want you to know, anytime you're willing to come to the team, there's always something to do. There's always something for you to do. I want you to know that people may give you up, but we will never give you up. I believe that everyone has something beautiful to do for the Lord. Amen. Everyone of us has something beautiful to contribute to the Lord. And we want to meet a church that shows that. I mean, in other churches, and sometimes people fail, they run down, level aside, excommunicated, all kinds of things. I don't believe in that. If the Church of Jesus Christ don't have unconditional love, who else in the world can? Tell me, who else can? If we don't love like Jesus loved, who else in the world will do it? We have to set the standard. We have to set the pattern. So congregation, I want you to pray for these elders and deacons. I'm proud of each one of them. They bring to the tough fight, tough battles, and some of it was not easy. But I'm proud that each one of them has fought a good fight. They're still here. Some of them may have other responsibilities and other things that they have to attend to. They're not here. But I know their spirits are here with us. So let's take off our hands symbolically and pray for each one of them right now. Father God, we pray that you strengthen each one of the pastors, elders, and deacons, Lord, in our church. Lord, cause them, Lord, to be stronger in you, Lord. Lord, help them, Lord, to grow from faith to faith, glory to glory, grace to grace. And Lord, let them to excel in greater things, Lord, in the coming years. Let them continue to find their place in the body of Christ, O Lord. Thank you, O God, that your grace and mercy continue to abound in their lives, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and your shield that's upon your life in this coming years, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we want to pray for the congregation. I want you to know there are many unsung heroes among our congregation. Some of you in your choir way have served God. I mean, I believe some of you, I mean, like people like Edwin and all these helping the Sunday school. And people like Sister Raga, I mean, they've been quietly helping in a lot of ways, the women and the children. And a lot of you, that there's so many of you we couldn't name. The unsung heroes in our church. Mighty men and mighty women. I mean, you have done things in your quiet way. Only to know you're precious in God's eyes. You're precious in our eyes. You're especially precious to me and my wife and family. And I know, I can see things in the spirit. I know the many things that you've been doing. And you do pray that God will reward you openly. The many things that you do in secret. Many little faithful things that nobody else sees. Sometimes you're Sunday school workers. As many of you Sunday school workers, you're holding on. And sometimes nobody seems to know and nobody seems to care. I know what it's like. But I want you to know God watches all these things. And God cares about every little thing. And we want you to know that we are not unaware of it. I could feel it. I could feel the pain. I could feel the loneliness sometimes in your heart. I could feel whether sometimes you wonder whether anyone knows what you're doing, and whether anyone cares whether what you're doing in what you're doing. We do, and God does. And we want you to know that. We're going to pray for you that God will reward you. Not only in heaven, but on this earth in your special way. In the quiet things that you do in your many, many ways. Some of you are here, some of you are not here. But the many ways that you've been faithful. Many ways, some of the things that you do that have gone unnoticed. Times like this that we understand. God bless you for all that you do. We are grateful for all that you do. Position comes from God. We do not make anyone pastor, elder, or deacon as a reward. We make them whatever they are because we discern that it's God's call on their life. But we do recognize offices that God has placed. If some of you know that you're not called to any of these things, but you're so faithful that, you know, sometimes I say, God, teach me a way to have a reward system. And in fact, God showed me about a month ago what to do, and it will only materialize in about 3 years' time. But God knows about it. Even now we pray that God would reward you in ways that we could not establish a system that we could do it. And we want you to know that we are grateful for all the little things that you do as a church to make this church a great church for God. We want to thank you for that. And we want you to know that we will remember you in our prayer. We continue to pray for you always. Our covenant with you. And we will uphold you. And it's our covenant with you that will lead you into the right walk and the right path. The right spiritual walk, and to help you to grow for your place in heaven that God has for you. Let's pray. And except for this holding the Lord's Supper communion and elements, And we ask those who are here to turn and face the congregation and pray for the congregation. Father God, there's so many in here, Lord, that are actually great men and women of God. In the secret place of their heart, Lord, that they've been great in your sight. And we know, Lord, that in heaven they receive great rewards of God for the little things that they do, and the little effort that they have given, for the wondrous ways that they have supported you in many ways, Lord, and done the work of your ministry. Father, we pray that you reward them greatly in heaven and also on this earth, especially in the coming years, O God. Lord, that you multiply every good deed that they have sown, Lord, back into their lives abundantly. Oh, let your angels go forth, Lord, and let your blessings come upon them and the reward comes and return back upon their own heads, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit will remind them. It's because of all those little things that they have done for you, Lord. We were heart not seeking for recognition or reward, but we are heart just seeking to love you and to do something for you, no matter how small. Oh, thank you, Father God, for this congregation. I thank you for the congregation you've given to us, Lord. What a great congregation it is, Lord. And we pray, oh God, that you would make it a greater congregation, Lord. Enlarge your heart and enlarge your life, O Lord. And multiply them, Lord. Lord, multiply your people. We extend the borders of our tent. Multiply and make them fruitful and multiply. Not only physically for their families, for those who seek the family blessing, but spiritually, let them have many spiritual children, O Lord. Let them be fruitful and multiply, O God. And many, many more spiritual children in you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We just thank you for each and all them. And give thanks to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just stretch our hands to the communion right now. And pray for the communion. As we are going to partake it. Ora mahaji galamanti galavati galavati galavati. Ramante karamante 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 galamante karamante Ramante karamante 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 Achana ramante 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 Thank you. God as we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus. We unite ourselves afresh with you, O God. And we dedicate our spirit, souls, and bodies to you, O God. Live for you and to serve you all the days of our life. We say goodbye to the things of this world. We say goodbye to sin. We say goodbye to iniquities. We say goodbye to trespasses. We say goodbye, O God, to all our weaknesses. Lord, we don't want to see them anymore in the 1995, Lord. Father, we only want to see the great things of God and the new things of God. As we unite ourselves with you, O Lord. Father God, we rededicate our lives to you. Our spirits, souls, and bodies we consecrate to you. Our time, our possessions, our talents, our gifts, we commit ourselves to you, Lord. We dedicate them all to you, Lord. For from you we receive all these things. And to you, Lord, we return them. Father God, even as we taste and partake of this communion, let there be such a cleansing in our heart and our life. Let there be a breaking away of the old ways, Lord, and of our old man, O Lord, and our old nature, O Lord. And those things that cling to our emotions, that cling to our soul, and cling to our mind, cling to our bodies, O God. We let go of them, Lord. Let them all drop away, Lord. And God, we want to put on Jesus Christ in this new year. We want to put on Jesus Christ and be even more Christ-like. To have even more unconditional love for people. Not only to love people whom we like, but to love people who are hard to love. Not only to love people who are our friends, but to love our enemies. Not only to love those who agree with us, but to love those who disagree with us. Oh God, give us this unconditional love, that we could just love everybody, Lord. No matter how different they are from us, Lord, the more different they are, the more we could find a love for them, Lord. Lord, help us not to love only those who are like us, or have similar interests, or seem to be like us in any way. But help us to love people who are entirely different from us, Lord. Different in upbringing, different in nature of their soul, different in character, Lord. Even though their differences may at times, Lord, to our very own nature be hard to take. But help us, Lord, to have unconditional love. And even greater love, Lord, in this coming year. Father God, we just want this newness to come into our lives. We want to receive this grace, this wisdom, this life into us of the body and the blood of Jesus. And we're going to receive it powerfully, Lord. So that in 1995, we will not be the same person. We will be like a new man, Lord. We'll be like a new vessel for you. Oh God, we dedicate our lives to you. And as a church, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Forgive us, O God, as a church, wherever we have failed you and not live up to the mark. Father God, help us to be a better church for you, Lord. To be a greater church for you. Help us, Lord, to be a greater blessing to the body of Christ. Help us, O God, to encourage even more fivefold ministry to come forth. Lord, wherever we have failed you, cleanse us and forgive us, and send your mighty angel to lead us on in the greater glory, so that in 1995 we will completely fulfill everything you ask us to fulfill, both in our personal lives and in the church and in our professional life, Lord, in your ministry life. Lord, we want to do your will, Lord. Not our will, but yours be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you sing the song, leaders, you can go back to your seats. Thank you very much. As you sing the song, the steadfast love of the Lord, we're going to distribute the bread and the cup. Hold it in your hands first, and we're going to partake together. Praise God. Amen. Oh, no. God that you hold will bring healing in your life. This cup that you hold will bring healing to your body. This cup that you hold will bring healing to your soul, your mind, and your emotions. This cup that you hold will bring a new life of Jesus into your spirit. It will fill your soul and envelope your body. This cup is the very body and the very blood of Jesus. And the newness of life will be upon you, and you will be turned into another person. You will not be the same person because it's my spirit that has come upon your life. And I give you a new grace. And I give you a new life. And I give you a new avenue to walk in. And I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I give you a new grace. And I give you a new life. And I give you a new avenue to walk in. And I will be your God, and you will be my people. And as you make your covenant to serve me, I covenant with you, all my people, that I will not forsake or leave you all the days of your life. I'll be with you as you cross the Jordan, which you will cross even the next year. I'll be with you even as you cross into your promised land. And even though the giants will be there, they will be like grasshoppers in your eyes. For I will be with you, and you will do many exploits. And I will cause you to know my will and my wisdom, this cup that you have. And remember, all my children, no matter how great the pressure and how great the temptation, I have already placed in your spirit the attribute and the talent and the gift and the ability to overcome it. If you will find it on your inside, in your greatest need, when you look to your left and to your right and you don't find help, know that I'm on your inside, and I have given help even before you ask. And the attribute to overcome is on your inside. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your fresh new covenant that you made with us, that we may be one another. For this is your blood of covenant, and this is your body, the communion of the saints that we partake, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's partake it.
I may pass your cup to your house, and then a pretty prayer called God, repeat after me. Say, Father God, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ come upon your heart and your life for this new year. May the wisdom of God and the blessings of God go before you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. He go before you and cause The enemy is to be scattered before you seven ways. May he cause all the works of your hands to prosper. May he enlarge your spirit, enlarge all that you have. May he cause you to enter, even in 1995, your promised land. May he cause you to inherit that portion of land that belongs to you. May he cause you to inherit all every inheritance that you as a tribe of Jesus has, even in his promised land. The very portion that belongs to you, may it come upon your life and may you have it. May the angel of God bring it before you, even in God's time. Oh, we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's all rise together.
New Year, I want to
store today
for the
11th hour. I want an early special. I want to
see
local
change,
but
building
fine. This is the first hour of the New Year. I want to see this revival. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's called taking the kingdom of God by violence. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good, sister. Praise God. Keep it up. Let's all stand together. Let's sing that song, Fear Not, for I'm with you. That's part of the theme that seems to be coming for this new year. Because next year is the time of crossing the Jordan. Hallelujah. Fear not. I give Jesus a good time offering. Praise God. God bless you. Remember that later this morning, the service at 9 a.m., right? And it's a combined service 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Praise God. God bless you. And we wish you a very blessed New Year. Praise God.